Hi, homeowners. It's Dave with LendingTree again. Have you heard that mortgage rates are dropping? It's true. You could get rates as low as 2.5%, 3.00% APR at LendingTree.com. In fact, homeowners who refinance with LendingTree save an average of $353 a month. That's over $4,200 a year. Don't wait for rates to climb. Start saving now by calling LendingTree at 1-800-578-2208 today. That's 1-800-578-2208. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 1136.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis on a beautiful Sunday here in Washington.
It actually isn't that bad out.
It stinks.
No,
it's
ugly. Don't start talking.
Why?
Let me talk.
Okay.
I was just down at the DuPont Circle Farmers Market. I was stuffing the bus with the Vanka guys. So when you're done listening to us, you absolutely must hit the DuPont Circle Farmers Market and just donate $5 or pick up some produce and help Vanka stuff the bus. It's all going to DC Central Kitchen. It was so much fun being there this morning. So I'm giving a shout out to them and asking you to go do something.
Well, and then when
them.
You're done, go to the Georgetown Bagelry, which happens to be right near Ridgewell's.
Yes, it is.
Because they are cooking it up. I was in there this morning. There were fresh bagels pouring out of there.
It always smells good.
Shameless plug for our friends at the Georgetown Bagelry. So, and yesterday we went down to the Solar Decathlon. And if you don't know about that, that's where
awesome
college teams from all over the world, China, other places, U.S.
Germany, U.S., everywhere.
Create and build greenhouses, green environments.
Not that green houses that are green.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
Divorce court.
Okay.
But these houses are all, you know, they're LEED ready. They're energy efficient. They've got some great innovations there. And the houses are sitting on the mall. I mean, you could live in these houses.
It's awesome.
It's great to see. So if you got some time over the next week, go down there and see it.
Yeah, because they're here for just one more week. There's a huge competition, and then they get an award. And I think last year, the University of Maryland won.
Go Terps. Fear the turtle.
Okay.
All right.
You want to get started?
All right. So around here in D.C., if you say the word catering or see a purple truck, you know it's got to be Ridgewell's. And Ridgewell's CEO Susan Lass is in today talking holiday catering and entertaining, although it's hard to believe we want to talk about the holidays already.
I want to talk about the holidays.
My suntan hasn't faded.
Absolutely.
Damn it.
It's never too early to talk about the holidays.
That's how I feel. Let's get going. All right. And when you think legendary chefs in the city, Bob Kincaid certainly comes to mind. We're going to be having him on the show later on. We're going to talk about some of the new things that he's doing and what's going on in the restaurant world these days. And you may remember the big Taste of DC years back. It has been gone for several years, but it's being brought back. And Stuart Martins is the guy behind it. He's in studio. He's going to tell us all about it.
And Capital City Brewing, my favorite source of liquid, is here. They're gearing up for the holidays. They've got a whole range of new beers, and brewer Mike McCarthy's with talk and taste of the new season. That's what it
growlers.
Says in the script.
He's got growlers,
yeah,
right?
You got it.
And I've challenged him. I'll be chugging all four at the end of the show, and then we're going to tape what happens next.
We dress separately.
So, Mike, let's start with you. Because one of the things we were talking about last night is, when did it become like the fashion to brew specialty beers for special seasons, like pumpkin-flavored ales and stuff?
In the industry, seasonal's always kind of been a part of it. But it was something more really dictated by the brewers and what they kind of wanted to make. And of course, you know, heavier beers tend to be made in the winter, lighter beers in the summer.
So beer was always seasonal?
Yes.
Ahead of the trend.
It really was, because a lot of the styles come about from brewing in certain times of the year in Germany, where the caves, you know, to keep them cold throughout the winter were a certain temperature and you couldn't brew in the summer.
So this goes back
no refrigeration,
hundreds
things
of
like
years,
that.
And it's not a marketing thing.
Nowadays, though, a lot of it seems to be customer dictated because these pumpkin beers and Oktoberfest beers are almost out at the end of July. You know, they're out in the second week of August.
Oh, it's like Susan Last talking about holidays.
They can't get them here quick enough.
Slam, slam, slam. So, but now you're brewing specific beers for Oktoberfest, but they're not ready yet, right?
I wait until October to bring ours out.
Okay.
But yes, we do have an Oktoberfest lager and a beer we call Pumpkinator, which is more or less
movie.
Pumpkin spice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin spice in beer.
Okay, so, but what did you bring in today?
Because I see all these. Today I have four beers. I have our Amber Waves Ale, so red, hoppy, West Coast style ale.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Scottish ale made with some peated malt, which is really nice, a little different than using some smoked malt.
Mm-hmm.
We have a porter, which is not as heavy as a stout, but definitely showcases some of the darker roasted grains. And then I have a double version of our Amber Waves Ale.
What does that mean?
Twice the malt bill, twice the hops. A lot of styles have an imperial or a double version of them, which is times two, basically.
Right.
So it's just a
bigger version
of it.
We should have a moment of silence because we have five kids, and number three is Sam Nellis, who's in Chicago, and he would suck the life out of those things.
He would. He's probably very unhappy that he's not here.
Yeah, he would. Poor Sam.
But we're not.
No,
it's okay.
I'll
he's in Chicago. He can stay.
So what are you going to pour first?
Amber Waves Ale.
Excellent.
Rock and roll. While you do that, we're going to turn back to Susan and we'll talk of Ridgewells. And seriously, my tan is still kind of half here. And
no,
you're,
it's not.
You're...
It's totally gone.
Oh, shut up.
It's gone. You are without tan.
I'm going to take my shirt off in a minute.
Oh, God, please. You're not doing anything for anybody with
everyone
that.
Everyone is thrilled. But, I mean, you know, you're here already. You're going to talk about holiday entertaining. And it reminds me of the retailers who have their Christmas lights going up already.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But I assume people are really, people are planning earlier and earlier.
So
what are your
first,
thoughts?
Let me just let you know that holiday also includes Thanksgiving.
Right.
So that's still just around the corner.
It's 8 weeks
Halloween
away.
Halloween is going to be here. And then, boom, it's Thanksgiving.
So, plus, I would imagine people are coming to you for Halloween as well. I mean, that's become
totally,
a huge party.
Totally.
Time.
I personally throw a Halloween party for the neighborhood, and it's so much fun. And I actually do all the young.
Wait, where do you live?
Trust me, all the adults stop by for adult beverages during Halloween time, and then they end up at my house. So it's a lot of fun. But, you know, it's never too early to start planning all this stuff. So.
Right. Well, so as people come to you for the holidays, you know, every year there's sort of trends. What would you say you're seeing? Let's start with the food, like food trends. Like, what are people looking for when it comes to entertaining during the holiday season?
Well, I think in this economic climate, people are looking for easy. Mm-hmm. People are looking for fresh, and people are looking for affordable. So, you know, Ridgewells has this great holiday program where you can order a platter like I have here,
right,
and just come and pick it up, or we can drop it off or whatever, and everything's ready. You just take the wrapping off.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I think some people, when they think catering, they think, I've got, it's either a bar mitzvah or a wedding. It can't be a little bit of both. I can't cook and bring in.
No.
Some people are so all or nothing.
Yeah, no. So when we allow the hostess to do either or, you can pick up food from us, you can pick up a dozen chairs or extra plates
or
linens.
You guys do full rentals too,
right?
We
do full rentals as well. So especially at Thanksgiving time, it's really very busy around Dorsey Lane, because people come in nonstop the day before Thanksgiving and pick up so much, whether you need an extra set of plates or another table or just the turkey or perhaps some great gathering cake that we brought here. So pieces of it or all of it.
Right.
We do it all.
Is the economy, is it driving the combination of events? Like you mentioned, bar mitzvahs and weddings. Have you ever had a bar mitzvah wedding where the kid becomes a man and then gets married that afternoon? Anything along those lines?
No, David.
There's something wrong with you. That's so
no,
stupid.
No, David.
Okay. Well,
they're 13, David.
Well, I can tell you, never mind.
But you know.
In some countries, maybe, yeah.
Stuart and I are looking at each other like, yeah, I'm sure you have a point. What is that?
Well, so, but to the food specific, I think with all this sort of snout to tail dining and seasonality that you're seeing in restaurants, is the consumer coming to you and saying, this is how I'm eating in the restaurant and this is how I want to serve for a party. Are you hearing more of that from people?
Well, I think portions are smaller. I think that portions are healthier. Mm-hmm. I think the items are healthier. So just to give you an example of what we have here, you know, it's definitely seasonal. We are doing a truffled quinoa salad.
I love quinoa.
And actually, it's not in a phyllo cup because we found that after we started making these, the phyllo cup got a little soggy. So now we have a different, a sturdier cup. Mm-hmm. And good old-fashioned, you know, asparagus wrapped with Parma ham. We've got a tuna tartare with a Bloody Mary vinaigrette on it. Mm-hmm. And look at those fresh garnishes, the radishes. And this is a spoon that you can recycle. It's made out of it's all bamboo. Mm-hmm. Mission figs, black mission figs with a gorgonzola brulee. Yum. I mean, it's like so melt in your mouth.
Wait a minute, what did you say your address was?
And then we have a smoked salmon, a spin on smoked salmon canopy with blood orange and mm-hmm. like the fresh radishes.
So I don't normally do this, but I'm actually going to pass this over to Stuart Martins for the first bite and then say goodbye to this.
Excuse me, I am over here.
No.
Women, please.
No. I just want a fig.
I know. I'm trying to catch up to Stuart in case they need something for Taste of DC.
Susan, is that cup tofu? That looks like tofu.
No. Oh, what, this cup?
Yeah.
No, that's not tofu. Mm-hmm. It's like a little, you know, it's not a phyllo because the phyllo wasn't holding up, but he just gave it to me this morning and I called him about the eggnog, but I didn't call him about the cup.
All right, well, let me tell you, though, can we just talk about a little bit doing at home?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not trying to take business out of your hands, but these figs, how hard is this to do at home?
Well, you've got to have the recipe, first of all. I mean, if you like to cook, you can do that. Absolutely.
Right.
It's basically a gorgonzola mousse, and it's got a little bit of sugar on it, and you've got to have the torch to
the
torch
burlet.
It. So,
right.
I mean, you can buy that at any Williams-Sonoma. So,
right.
Absolutely.
Now, as people are decorating their homes for the holidays, let's start with Halloween, since that is
love
something
Halloween.
That you are doing.
Love
what
Halloween.
What are some fun things people can do to their homes, and then what are the kinds of menu items that you are doing for people for that?
So I love to decorate my house for Halloween. And mm-hmm. It's more natural. I love the bales of hay. I love the stalks of corn. I love
the gourds.
And the gourds and the pumpkins. And I bring out Christmas lights for Halloween, but they're all orange. I've got these orange balls that I either hang from the porch or I'll throw in the front yard to make it look like a pumpkin patch. But our neighborhood really goes all out for Halloween. And it's so fun because it's the
festive.
Kids and festive and the whole nine yards. So for the party, I have lots of micro beers, mm-hmm. Preferably pumpkin spice or something along those lines, a bucket of red wine, and I do a big, you know, pot of either soup or chili or just really easy. So I'm out with the kids. I come back, everything's ready to go, and everybody mm-hmm. it's kind of self-serve this, and everybody knows the routine. And it's so much fun because it's so simple, and a big salad and some bread and crusty bread, and mm-hmm. you're done.
So we can call, I mean, and well, it occurred to me because you do a bunch of stuff on Halloween and on Labor Day and all that, and, you know, when I think of Ridgewell's, I think of the whole...
You should see the face when I call somebody to just bring, like, when we do throw parties, I do like to have... I know, he starts stabbing me. I don't want to use my stuff. I rather rent glasses,
right.
rent plates, rent silverware, because when you're done, the ease of it, you just throw it in the bins.
And I do make that cheap guy's face, but...
Yeah.
You know, so I just think... But I never think about linens, and that's so smart, because then you don't have to... There's nothing to clean up. You just throw everything in a bag.
Absolutely
nothing.
Not
having to clean is a perk.
That's I think a
nice
it's a total
thing.
Perk.
Yeah.
I completely agree with
Halloween, you.
And
with Halloween, you don't need dessert because there's so much candy around.
Right. No, absolutely. All right. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, though, I want to talk more about the kinds of items you're offering for both Thanksgiving and
absolutely.
Christmas because it is right around the corner. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are snacking on yummy treats and drinking some beer, but we're going to be talking Taste of D.C. in just a bit. We'll be right back.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common, the same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. March for Babies! Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Susan Lass is the CEO of Ridgewell's, and she's in here.
And she's cutting the cake.
Cooking the cake.
Feeding us. It looks so good. Let's just cancel the rest of the show and eat all this food.
Oh, my God. What kind of cake is it?
This is what we call our gathering cake, and this is what our number one seller for Thanksgiving.
It's so beautiful.
And it could be many different types of cake, mm-hmm. and it's this is our sponge cake, and I filled it with pumpkin mousse.
Yum.
And it's got a cranberry compote on top with figs and nuts.
This is good.
Is that a fondant or is that white chocolate?
It's a fondant.
Here, you
it's
take beautiful. The first bite, and
Thank
then
you.
I'll eat the
oh,
rest of it.
You're such a gentleman. And for people who want to see what it looks like, we actually just tweeted out a picture of it. It just looks gorgeous.
And we've got eggnog.
Eggnog, spiked eggnog, homemade.
Tell us about some of the key items that you are serving for the holidays. And I am also curious, because you mentioned craft beers as well. Are people asking for beer, and are people asking for cocktails, too, when you come in to cater? Are people getting a little more savvy on those things?
Absolutely. And so I'm going to go back to my economic, you know, the economic climate. A lot mm-hmm. of people will do a beer and wine bar, and then they'll want a specialty cocktail.
Okay.
And so we'll design a cocktail just around the event, whether it be, you know, a wedding and a specialty cocktail, the bride and groom, or whatever the case may be. But I find that more and more events, there's that specialty mm-hmm. cocktail that's going, being passed as soon as the guests come in.
I love it.
Boom. So then you don't have to have a full open bar, but you can do
the beer
and the wine and or the Prosecco or the champagne. And, you know, Stuart's more knowledgeable about all that stuff than I am. But you can do the specialty cocktail and have it in a fun glass and, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know how long this show is going to be on the air, but I'm going to look like Jabba the Hutt by the time the thing is over.
Gonna?
Did you just say that?
Oh.
When I get
boy,
it over there.
You know what? Just to get you even, when we get home, I'm going to put on my Italian bathing suit.
Oh, boy. Lucky me.
Does it have a sequence on it?
Yeah.
Just well, on
little,
the back.
What do they call it? A grape sack. It's nice. All right. So, you know, we only have about two more minutes, and I unless there's something you're desperate to get across to everybody, how did you get into this? That's really the question.
Oh, gosh. It was all started in a deli in Jersey, David.
Oh, my God.
A lot of things started in a deli in Jersey.
It all started in a deli in Jersey, you know, a gazillion years ago. And I just have a passion for food. I have a passion for entertaining from my grandmother. We're from a big Polish family, and everybody would gather at our place. And so I love it, and I love it, and I love to decorate. I love to set tables, the whole nine yards. But, you know, I think Ridgewell's does do just the hors d'oeuvre platter or the bartender or the chef in the kitchen or the linen. So we're not
or
just
the whole kit and caboodle.
Or the whole kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Well, look, I assume it's Ridgewell's.com.
Ridgewell's.com. Our holiday brochure will be
okay,
up there.
Okay. Go ahead. Excellent. Give them a phone number, too. Let's plug everything.
301-652-1515, as it's been since 1928.
Right, let's give Robert Footer a shout out too.
We will give Robert Footer. I need to come see him.
But seriously, if you're going to show up here with this kind of food, you should be a regular guest.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank you.
And enjoy the eggnog.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get back to Mike McCarthy. Mike, we are talking seasonal beers. This one is delicious. It's sort of got that nice tart. This is the kind of beer you'd want to wrap around a big sandwich and watch a football
even
game
with. Yeah, some steak would go well
I
with.
I think it goes very nice with the cake, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's an American
Nikki
style.
Nikki would drink this with toothpaste, so it's
got a lot of American hops, and that's with Some of that citrus flavor is in there, but it's pretty well balanced with some caramel.
It tastes
malt.
Very much like Anchor Steam. I mean,
there you go. It's
now, does that offend you to be compared to another beer?
To Anchor Steam? That's
well, I'm just saying.
You know, in general,
trying to start a fight.
Just how we try to have people sell beers. We don't sell them. This is our Anchor Steam, or this is our.
Right, you're not comparing it. It's not an imposter.
But you're going to have the customer say, this is what I drink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to kind of match what you do to that. So, you know, we're used to hearing, you know, brand names along with our beer all the time. You know, it's more of a compliment that if it's something that you like, regardless of who makes it, and then you say you like mine.
She's just trying to start a fight, but I think anybody with, you know, impressive tattoos like those could kick my butt.
I got a bunch of flowers. I don't know how many.
They're kind tattoos.
All right, so I'm going to ask an important question. Bob, are you on the phone?
But wait. What are you pouring next? Hello?
More importantly.
We're going to pour a beer called Peat Me Up Scotty.
Okay.
With a P. So it's peated malt, and it has a light... smoke or peated instead of using hardwoods to smoke.
I could do my George Takei. Oh my!
I love George Takei.
Oh, good.
All right, well, you pour that. Bob Kincaid, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi,
Bob.
Sorry, we got a little screwed up there. So, you know, when you talk about icons in this city, in the world of cuisine, Bob Kincaid's name comes up. Bob, you won't remember, but I was one of the first diners at 21 Federal way back when, and because I was working right around the corner, and it...
Meaning he won't remember you?
No, he won't remember me. I'm not that memorable. But that meal, that first meal, opened my eyeballs up to a whole new way of not just what things could taste like, but what presentation could look like. So I thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. And we've been trying to do that sort of thing right along, but cuisine always, and even for individual chefs, kind of evolves over time. So our food isn't exactly the same as it was back when dinosaurs were roaming the earth when I had 21 Federal. But
I was there.
A lot of the good dishes are good dishes, and they end up coming back again and again and again. So some things that you would have had the first week there would appear at Kincaid's occasionally on menus. So I bring back the good dishes every now and again.
Well, Bob, let's tell people why you're on the show today. You are going to be at the McLean Uncorked Food and Wine Festival October 15th. You're going to be there with Alton Brown, so it's going to be a ton of fun. But you're not going to be doing the boring old cooking demo. You're going to be chatting industry talk with those who attend this event.
Right.
What made you decide to go that route? I mean, that, you know, you and I talked on the phone the other day. It couldn't be more than my favorite thing to talk about. But do you think, like, the layperson has a lot of interest in talking about restaurant industry?
I'm not sure they have an interest in talking about the industry per se, but I think they have a lot of interest in what really goes on in restaurants versus what they see on TV or what they hear about or what they just simply perceive as a diner. So I think that a lot of what we're going to be talking about, and there was two reasons, basically, I decided to go that way, or we decided to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
One was the venue that we originally were going to do it in had a kitchen and setup and everything else, and they wanted to move it to a bigger venue. In that venue, having live cooking, i.e. heat and fire and whatnot, was going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, would you be comfortable just doing some other things besides cooking? And I said, yeah, I'm terrific with that. I've done a billion cooking demos over the years. And, you know, if I can talk about something else or enlighten people about something more, more important, then I'm all in favor of that.
Well, let's give everybody a little, let's do some highlights of some of the things you'll be talking about while you're there. I mean, since you have been a restaurateur here in D.C. for so long, I mean, there's been so many changes in the last 25 years. I mean, what are some of the things that you see that has really changed, not just for D.C., but for yourself as a chef and restaurant owner?
Well, the greatest amount of changes have occurred really just in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the business for over 40.
Mm-hmm.
I started, you know, the old-fashioned way, washing dishes in a restaurant on Cape Cod when I was 15. But most of the big changes have had to do with things that have happened really just since 2003, 2004. Mm-hmm. The big things are, well, currently is the economy. The economy has basically changed everything about the restaurant business and everything very specific.
Did I miss something? Is there something wrong with the economy?
Yeah.
It's not great. Right.
It's in the crapper. Anyway, that's changed hugely a lot of different things about the industry and for me personally, but particularly for restaurateurs that have fine dining restaurants. It's really made them have to step back and really reevaluate what they're doing.
Well, do you also think that people, I mean, there used to be way more fine dining, you know, white tablecloth, fine dining, special occasion restaurants in D.C., and that's really going by the wayside. And would you direct that?
I agree with that.
Do you think that has to do exactly, totally with the economy, or do you think people's tastes have changed? They want something more lively or not as sedate. Do you think that has to do with
it? Entirely the economy, mm-hmm. right? Because people are looking for a place to dine out. One of the things, while we were talking about changes, that will have changed forever is that people love to go out to eat. Mm-hmm. Prior to the 80s, it wasn't such a big deal. It was a strictly special occasion thing you did for your wedding anniversary or a birthday. As the economy grew better and people became more educated about cuisine and dining and how much fun dining out in restaurants can be, they started going, wow, and all different kinds. You got all kinds of varying types of restaurants at varying price points.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's happened is that people aren't going to give that up. What they're going to, but they can't afford to eat at, you know, super luxe restaurants like Per Se or Citronelle or the Inn at Little Washington as frequently as they may have.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the people that can afford to eat in those restaurants still eat in them, but all the rest of the middle class that got killed by that can't eat there anymore. So what they're looking for is a place that has the dining out experience without the dining out cost.
But do you think that makes it, because they still want that experience, do you think it makes it they're a harder diner? They expect more for less?
Yes, very definitely. No question about it.
So how do you deal with that in your restaurant at Kincaid's?
Very difficult. One of the things we've done is basically, except for products that have overwhelmingly gone up in price, we haven't really raised any prices in the past 4 years.
Wow.
At all. And as everybody will tell you, produce, seafood, to lesser degree meat, have skyrocketed in the last 4 years. And since that's what we sell at Kincaid's, for example, that's a big problem.
Yeah, but I think there's also, I mean, and it comes in with the, you know, the technology revolution and all that sort of, you know, business casual and we're not wearing ties these days and all that. It's also the more affable, the more easygoing. You know, when you went into Sans Souci, which is long gone, or Leon Dore, it was like, you know, it was like going into it was like going into the Pope's bedroom. It was ridiculous. And
you been in the Pope's bedroom?
Oh yes.
There's something I need to
know.
I'm
not saying I've slept with you there. We didn't have a sleepover, but you know, and actually, I was at Kincaid's. It's probably 2.5-3 months ago, and it's, you know, it was very light and easy. You know, the waiter, I mean, yeah. And you get that experience, you know, if you're talking the Palm or if you're talking the Source and you're talking, you know, all the better restaurants, along with the ones that are, you know, right in the middle for everybody, like medium rare. It's friendlier, it's more easygoing, and you don't feel like it's not, you know, tight.
What's your question?
No, but I'm saying,
Definitely it's gone that way, but that's just, I think, more a reflection of how everybody dresses for everything everywhere. Not necessarily just because they're going out.
I wish you could be here with us in the studio. We're naked.
Really?
Yeah.
Italian babies. Right, Italian babies. Glad I'm not there then.
Bob, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk more about what's going on at Kincaid's and a little bit about the event that you'll be participating in October, McLean Uncorked. So just if you wouldn't mind holding on the phone for just a sec.
Will do.
Excellent. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're sipping beers. We're uncorking in McLean, and later on, we're talking about Taste of DC. We'll be right back.
You may have a big heart, but do you have a strong heart? Balanced nutrition and exercise with regular checkups help build a strong heart. A strong, healthy heart lets you share your big heart with those you love.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Make healthy choices to maintain a strong heart. Eat lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and stay active by biking or walking 5 days a week.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because you know I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery, cookies, muffins, and cakes from Cat's Paw. I mean, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off, so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy.
Hi, I want to upgrade my car stereo.
Easy answer, HD Radio. We have all the latest HD Radio car stereos from Alpine, Pioneer, JVC, Kenwood, and Sony.
Why HD Radio?
Well, only HD Radio offers HD2, HD3 channels, iTunes tagging, and artist experience. Plus, the digital sound will blow you away.
Sounds good. Show me the way.
Oh, did you know installs by Geek Squad include a lifetime guarantee?
HD Radio. More radio, more value.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Bob Kincaid is on the phone. We got a living legend with us.
Hey, Bob.
And my wife has a question for him.
So as we were talking about changes in the restaurant industry, I am sort of curious, especially with a restaurant like Kincaid's. You know, diners are way more educated, thanks or no thanks to things like Food Networks and all the food shows. Of course, we've got blogs, and there's so much more food coverage these days. I'm just sort of curious how you feel about, you know, farm to table is such a catchphrase, and sustainable seafood is such a catchphrase. Given the kind of work you've always done, are you caught on that?
You just said the key words, what I've always done.
Mm-hmm.
Farm to table, sustainable. To me, I look at those as sales gimmicks, mm-hmm. that restaurants do to, you know, attract attention. It's kind of like organic food with supermarkets. Anything that says organic, people automatically try to buy.
Well, right. Chef heads all over the city are spinning.
You know, everybody, oh my, we got to. To be perfectly honest, we've done that from the day we opened. I was really one of the first restaurants to use a lot of what was at the time called trash fish, monkfish, bluefish, tilefish, mm-hmm. wolffish, a lot of fish that other restaurants never used. Now, you know, and part of the reason was, A, they were a good product, and B, they were profitable. You know, if you could sell them and build a market for them, that's great. It's something that you can sell and introduce to the clientele,
mm-hmm.
and make money at. The thing is that over time, everybody's latched onto that. So one time I used to pay like $1.25 for monkfish. Now it's, you know, $6 and $7 a pound.
Yeah, but Bob, what about the whole, you know, the whole notion that the basically the oceans are being fished out, and by 2048,
that's true.
So
But it's not going to be because Kincaid sold the fish.
No, I think it's all your fault, actually.
Yeah,
David's looking for somebody to pin
no,
it
no,
on.
No, but seriously,
that,
I mean,
it's in fact not.
You know, what they're saying is that because of the popularity of some of those other fish, you know, we've kind of moved to the monkfish and tilefish and all of that, and pretty soon that's all going to be gone.
No,
so,
that's not what they're saying. That's totally
that
wrong.
That is what they're saying.
No. It's not your wrong.
Well, I happen to, in large part, agree.
Uh-huh.
At some time, not in our lifetime, in our grandchildren's lifetime, virtually all the fish that comes to market will be farmed in some way, shape, or form.
Hmm.
It's already mostly farmed.
But do you find that there's a real loss in quality of taste with those farmed fishes?
Yeah. I think I don't think they're as good as wild caught. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you have no option, you have no option.
Right. You
also,
get what you get.
Over time, I believe they'll get better at farming practices where it won't be where it will be farmers that farm for quality as opposed to pure greed, where they, you know, you can't even see the water for the fish jumping around as some farming aquaculture plants do.
Well, just like we see, you know, I think it's coming to the fish, you know, as we see now with farmers, you know, humane certified, people are asking for it more, they're looking for it more, pasture raised. I mean, these are terms that I think 10 years ago nobody knew of or heard of, and it's really gaining steam, so hopefully it'll hit the fish.
But one
too.
Of the problems that's happening, and largely due to the economy, mm-hmm. is that to provide those kind of fish, or at least to provide the seed money to develop those kind of markets, requires that they be much more costly than conventional sources. Mm-hmm. And in a bad economy like we are now, people are going, yeah, I'd really like to pay the $25 a pound for rockfish.
Yeah.
But I can't.
But I can't.
Right.
I wouldn't like to.
So it's like, you know, I'd really rather buy that, but I can't.
Right.
All right. Well, Bob, unfortunately, we've run out of time. We want to thank you again. If you guys want to meet Bob Kincaid and hear his kind of insider skinny on the D.C. restaurant scene, you can meet him and hear from him at the McLean Uncorked International Wine Festival. Also, Alton Brown will be out there from the Food Network. That's October 15th at the McLean Community Center.
There's going to be
a whole lot of other events and tastings and so forth.
Yeah. Right, there's going to be wines from France, Spain, Italy, Argentina. It's going to be a good time. Well, Bob, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Okay,
all
great.
Right.
Thanks.
Mike McCarthy, we're coming back to you.
Okay, we have to be quick with you right now. So,
Prohibition Porter.
Nikki's quick with me all the time.
Prohibition Porter. This is a dark ale.
Impossible.
This is about as dark as beer. Excuse me. As dark as beer gets without really being a stout.
Okay.
So it's got the roast chocolate flavors.
I was going to say, lots of chocolate notes.
It's just not really so full-bodied. It's really a super dark red ale, but without a lot of hops.
I think I would like to make you my new best friend. Like, what are the chances that we could just be
like a butler slash brewer?
Okay. Well, you poured this. This is delicious.
Thank you.
And I like that kind of that chocolatey taste. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what kind of segue that is to Stuart Martin because he has no chocolatey taste. But Stuart, you know, I've known your mom for 100 years, and I wonder, does she know you're up to all this stuff? You're doing
Taste
of DC, The Apprentice, all this stuff. Does she think you're still just kind of hanging out in an apartment somewhere?
Pouring
wine.
Yeah. My mom's my biggest fan, so she knows what I'm up to. We hang out all the time, and she literally helps me out every day.
All right. Aww. Well, hi, Kathy. Let's do this.
Nice.
Taste of D.C. used to be a big annual food festival here in D.C., and around 2002 or 3, it hit the skids for a variety of reasons, and it just kind of went dormant, and you've bought the franchise, right?
That's correct, yeah. We took it over a little over a year and a half ago, and it took us about a year and a half to get it to the point where we can bring it back to life, and we're doing that this October.
Why buy it? Why not do something different?
You know, I'm obviously in the hospitality business here in the city, and I'm really passionate about what we do in terms of restaurants, entertaining, and
explain to people how you're in the hospitality industry for those who don't know.
So I also own a company called Tradewind Specialty Imports. We sell wine. We import and sell wine to restaurants, retail stores, grocery stores. And I've actually, one of my first jobs growing up was a waiter at Ridgewell's and Occasions Caterers. So I've been in this business since I was young, and I really am passionate about it, and I want to see an event come back to life that can really showcase DC as a culinary powerhouse, and that's my driving force behind bringing back.
All right,
Taste
so why don't you give us the basic blocking and tackling on the event so people know where, when, all of that.
Awesome, October 8th, 9th, and 10th on Pennsylvania Avenue between 9th and 14th Streets. Mm-hmm. We've got over 60 restaurants, 40 breweries. We've got over 60 different wines in our wine pavilion. And then we've got our main stage, which has national performing artists Big and Rich, Styx, Rusted Root, Ed Kowalczyk.
Styx, like 70s Styx. Like Don't Go Away.
You got it.
Oh, my God.
Do they need a guest lead singer?
That's very cool.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
We need a few more roadies if you're interested.
No, I don't want to be a roadie, man.
He likes the mic.
Roadie, schmody.
All right.
Wait, we haven't heard about the rest of the entertainment. You've got jazz ensembles I was reading.
We have actually
how many stages?
Six different stages throughout the event.
Okay.
We've got our main stage, family stage. We've got our Amstel stage and our Amstel Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. And then we've got two stages, one in the craft beer pavilion and mm-hmm. then one in the wine pavilion.
Well, I kind of want to talk about that. So, you know, when the Taste of D.C., the old Taste of D.C., this is like Taste of D.C. 2.0.
Right.
None of those kinds of things, you know, beer pavilions. I mean, I think they had Budweiser. I mean,
right.
none of these kind of specialties were there. So tell us about how you came up with some of those and what people will experience in the craft beer pavilion at the wine area. Like, what can people look forward to trying?
Well, we've really wanted to change the paradigm of the event. So mm-hmm. it used to be very festival oriented. You come get your corn dog and cotton candy, have fun with the family, free programming.
Gourmet corn dog.
Right. We actually are going to have somebody doing gourmet corn dogs with all different times.
That is an oxymoron, my friend.
No, it's not. You've had them. Give me a break.
I've never eaten a corn dog in my life.
Okay, go ahead.
So really what we've tried to do is build in awesome programming. Some of it you have to get tickets for, and a lot of it is free.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down and you'll be able to experience it on any of the stages throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, making sure that we could showcase DC and all that it has to offer, from its brewers, from its, you know, local wines, local entertainment.
So will the craft beer pavilion be just one area and you can go there and just do a tasting of beers?
You can
you buy tickets for that, or do you have to buy a ticket?
Nope, you can go into the craft beer all you want and walk around to do tastings. All the brewers that are there are actually offering 2 to 3 ounce samples.
Okay.
And then you'll also be able to go to the main bars and get full pours if you'd like as well.
Oh, neat. And you can walk around with the
totally.
Full pour?
Yep.
Very cool. And what about at the wine area? Is the wine kiosk sort of dispersed amongst the food, or is it all separate?
It's all separate. So you have the wine pavilion and the craft beer pavilion, and within those two tents, mm-hmm. they're separated. But you'll be able to sample and drink full glasses of
both. So this is really going to be the biggest food festival in the city.
Yes.
It is, yes.
It is.
Awesome.
And what about the restaurants that are participating? Who are some of the restaurants that you have brought in for this?
So we've got over 60 restaurants this year, which I was shocked I was going to be happy if we got to 50. But
mm-hmm.
We are actually at a 64 to be exact, and then we have a few other vendors who are doing some concession vending. So we'll be at over 84 vendors for the entire event, which is great. And one of my favorite restaurants, Medium Rare, Tom Gregg and Mark Bucher.
We were Medium Rare last night.
They're just there for dinner last night.
Oh, I love it.
They're coming out. BGR. To name a few, we've got a ton of restaurants coming from, you know, we've got Jamaican Gourmet. There's so many different vendors. It's going to be incredible.
Okay. And what about some of the, you're also doing cooking demos. I know you have a culinary stage. Who are you bringing in for that? And how does that, you have to buy tickets for that, I assume?
Some of them, yes, and some of them, no. It used to be the old Taste of DC. It was called the Fine Dining Pavilion, and we got away from that because we didn't want to limit somebody who wanted to come in and do a barista competition or a brewing demo. We have one Mad Dog Breweries coming in and talking about how to make beer at home.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that, too. We've got, let's see, who else?
Oh, Lori Forster is coming in.
She is. She's
coming
doing
in.
The
She's...
Wine Olympics, which mm-hmm. is going to be great.
She's awesome. We
She's
love her.
Really, really good. And then we also have... one of my favorite programs is going to be, we've got Chef Spike Mendelson coming in.
No, he's
mm-hmm.
And
he's also
a few other top chefs doing a craft beer happy hour and book signing with some of the local top chef celebrities.
Whatever else you can say in this world, his Obama burger is the most
Spike's a good guy. Yes. He's
and his
lots
fries
of fun.
Are good too.
It's so good. So, you know, we've got a lot of different programming, something for everybody, we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you want to experience food or beer or wine, we've got something great for you.
All right, explain the mechanics real quick, because we're going to go to a break soon, but about buying tickets and all that.
Sure.
Because often you go to these things and there's a lot of confusion about what you can just go do and what you got to have a ticket for and all that.
So we've stayed true to the original Taste of DC, that it is a free admission festival. So come around, walk around. There's tons of free programming, but ultimately we are based on a ticket system. So you come down and you can buy 10 tickets for $15 or 20 tickets for $25.
Mm-hmm.
You can also pre-buy them. So go to www.thetasteofdc.org now.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle.
It's okay. We'll do it again.
And so you take your tickets and then you'll go around to different vendors. Every vendor has what we call a taste option. So we've made it so that it's affordable and easy to go and get a sample from just about everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
And those are between 1 and 2 tickets. And then the restaurateur vendor has 3 other options on their menu as well that might be a more of a full serving. But ultimately...
So there are levels of expenditure that you...
Exactly. But we want to make it so you could sample every restaurant there if you so choose to eat that much.
Well, we have to take a quick break. But when we get back, I sort of want to talk about how you plan for something of this size. I mean, that's 3 days. That's a lot of restaurants. That's a lot of people. I want to talk about how you guys figured out how to make something like that work.
I think you just wing it, don't you?
Especially in the city of D.C.
It's been a year and a half.
Right.
Of winging.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're going to talk more Taste of D.C. And I think I have one more beer coming my way. Am I correct? Excellent.
My God, you're insatiable.
I know. I can't help it. We'll be back in just a sec.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army's service of every generation.
When I was young, I fell in love with you. Head over heels in love. I mean crazy in love. I took you everywhere. Parties, barbecues. I even fell asleep listening to you every night. Ah, radio. But now my love affair continues thanks to HD Radio. It's got everything I've loved about radio and more. More local stations, more variety, more value, and HD radios are as low as $50. Talk about a cheap date.
Learn more at HDRadio.com. HD Radio. More stations.
More value.
More of what you listen to radio for.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got Stuart Martins in talking about the Taste of D.C. Just quickly, I want to thank the people that sponsor this show. If you're listening and you're not a sponsor, I don't want you to feel too bad. Mm-hmm. But I do want to thank Georgetown Bagelry and the guys at Neighborhood Restaurant Group. That's Rustico and Buzz and Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, all those places. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Founding Farmers. The folks at Modus Hospitality, Notte Bianche Dish and Circle Bistro are their restaurants.
Yep.
Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. We got a jeweler as a sponsor.
Yay.
And Bethesda Central Farm Market.
Absolutely.
Mitch,
shout
Berliner.
Out.
Go ahead. Shout out to Mitch and
all
to
right.
Ann Brody.
So, Stu, we want to get back to you. Did you say something about a chili eating contest?
We did. One of the things we brought back was to really elevate the level of programming we had this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we partnered with Major League Eating. Have you guys ever seen the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest in Coney Island?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Isn't there that little woman who
I used to be a rookie
wins?
In the Major League Eating.
Well, actually, Black Widow, Sonia the Black Widow, she lives in Alexandria. We have her and Joey Chestnut along with eight other professional eaters from around the country coming in to do the 2011 World Chili Eating Championship.
Chili?
It is the first inaugural World Chili Eating Championship.
I want the porta potty.
I was gonna say that
sounds franchise.
Disgusting.
It is, and get to listen to this.
Okay,
it is presented,
you're trying to sell me on it.
I am.
Okay.
It is presented by Ben's Chili Bowl, so it's not only chili; it's Ben's Chili Bowl chili.
Oh my!
Wait, do you
God.
Take amateurs too?
No, my
well,
God.
Well, I'll get into that.
Is Tom's or Pepto Bismol sponsoring
so
this
here's,
thing?
Here's
Please
the deal.
Be ringed by fire hoses.
Let him talk.
Saturday, there's 10 amateurs. 10 Washingtonians will be put on stage. Mm-hmm. The winner gets to compete against Joey and Sonia on Sunday.
Oh, my God. You're going to have to
I love
purge.
It.
So you have to register online if you want to enter the local contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday.
Well, how do you pick the 10?
Well,
my best friend.
Major League Eating is going to pick the 10. Actually, I think Joey's going to be involved in picking the 10.
Fun.
And, so we have that on Saturday
chili.
And Sunday is the professional contest.
Can I just ask why you picked chili?
Because it's going
to be all the things to, like,
fun.
Speed eat.
So do you have any idea how much the winner is expected to eat a certain amount of chili? Any guesses?
I couldn't even guess. No,
2 pounds.
I have none.
Over 3 gallons.
Oh, wow.
And here's the rule. It has to be in a bowl, and then they can't drink out of the bowl. They have to use a spoon to get it into their mouth. Over 3 gallons of spooning it in.
I could do that.
Oh, my God. I would never.
All right, you're entering the contest, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank God it's Yom Kippur. No, he can't. He will not be there. It will not be happening.
Sunday he can come out.
I'm Jewish?
He can break the fast.
I thought it was a Roman Catholic.
Right,
sleeping over at the Pope's and all that.
All right. Well, before we have to wrap it up, I am really curious. I was talking to you off air. What does it take to put on an event of this size? I mean, how many volunteers do you need? How do you assist the chefs and so that everybody has everything that they need? How do you take care of everyone?
Well, I have to say, I mean, we don't just do this to make money. We do this to raise money for 4 great charities in town. DC okay. Central Kitchen, mm-hmm. Bread for the City, Luke's Wins.
Robert Eger doesn't need any more money.
Yeah, right.
Yes, he does.
And American Red Cross, and they're instrumental in helping us do that. They provide over 300 volunteers per day, mm-hmm. And they're really essential to making it happen. But really our staff, you know, we've got right now 15 staff that are making this happen every day. Logistically, it's just, that's the biggest thing here, right? It's each individual component's not that difficult, but it's how they all fit together. So timing and scheduling.
He sounds just like a CEO.
I know. He knows what he's doing. Very cool.
All right. Give everybody all the salient points again, where to find you on the web, what numbers to call, what to do, when to go, all that.
So again, we're October 8th, 9th, and 10th on Pennsylvania Avenue. If you want to get more information, you can buy tickets. You can look up the schedules at www.thetasteofdc.org.
And if you can't spell that, you don't deserve to come.
Well, we also do have everything featured on the list. AreYouOnIt.com.
Shameless plug.
I can't help it. It's there. But it is all there. Everything that's going on there, and there's a direct link.
All right. Promise me you'll say hi to your mom for me.
I will.
And thanks for coming in this
morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's get back to Mike McCarthy. You've got, the 12th annual Mid-Atlantic Oktoberfest Beer Festival coming up.
Saturday the 8th.
What up with that?
It is in the Shirlington Village, October 8th. We shut down the entire village. This year we have more tents than ever. We have 92 tents and 65 will feature beer.
Do they drink a lot of beer in Shirlington?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody there is going to be drinking a lot of beer.
Exactly.
Is it beer makers? Who's coming
local
in?
Local breweries, Gordon Biersch, District Chop House, Mad Fox, Lost Rhino, kind of local people like that. DC Brow is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then national brands, imports. So we try to get, there'll be over 125 different beers.
Wow.
We expect upwards towards 9,000 to 10,000 people in the 7 hours. That's what we kind of average. It's a really big event. And even $25 for glass wristband tickets. And it's a free event, though. You only pay if you want to drink. So you can kind of just come there and hang out and
wait till you find a half empty
exactly.
glass of beer.
I'm sure if you scavenge
enough. I'm thinking of my son Sam again.
But it is it's our 12th year. Now
you're brewing beer specifically for that event?
Well, yeah, we will have a tent outside of our restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have our Oktoberfest lager, our Pumpkinator Ale, mm-hmm. featured there.
Will you have these two, the ones you brought in today?
These will be in the restaurant.
They'll be in the restaurant.
They'll be in the restaurant.
I did not taste one beer today that wasn't.
This last one is.
Tell us about the last one.
So this last one is a steroid-free version of the first one we tried. It's a double Amber Waves Ale. So it's percentage-wise just amped up, but the exact same ingredients that in the regular.
I mean,
Amber
is this just you kind of playing? Like, are you like
sometimes yes, sometimes no?
I
mean, you know,
a little bit of that.
Beer's been around for a while, and you know, you're rarely the first person to do something. Although it is something where, on a small level like this, where we're not bottling, we don't have a label that's going across the country, that mm-hmm. you can almost be how the wine industry is. And 93's grapes taste like this. Well, this batch of beer tastes like this, and the next time I make it, we're going to change it because we can.
Well, can I follow up on that? So when you make a beer like this, unlike wine,
mm-hmm.
you don't let it age long. I mean,
certainly.
Can you?
The higher the alcohol, the more stable the beer is. And, mm-hmm. Once you cross the, the 8.5% alcohol threshold, this is 8.5% and upwards, beer stored correctly is stable 4, 5, 6 years.
But
it will mature.
Right?
And it will mature.